turn over to Acts chapter 16. That's where we'll start. Tonight's going to be a little bit different. And before we get into the message, I'm giving you permission and I'm asking you to help me out here in something. I want you to act as my emissary. And on Sunday, if you see people here who were not here tonight, you tell them that I told you they must get the tape and listen to this tonight. Now, see, somebody's already fussing about that. Now, seriously, you can tell them that I said that I want you to do that. And if they hear it from enough people, they might take the hint. Maybe I need to get this tape and listen to it. I want everybody to hear this. Everyone. This is an extremely important message. I don't know that some people would hear it and say, well, that was sure theologically deep. I don't know if you'd call it that. But it sure is going to be practically deep. And it's going to help a lot of people maybe get a better understanding about their own calling as far as whatever God wants them to do, their ministry. Now, in Acts chapter 16, we're just going to read a few verses here. We're going to look at several verses to kind of lay a foundation here at the beginning. And Paul is talking about Paul. It says, then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Now, verse 2, essentially, we can put it like this. Paul met a guy named Timothy, and boy, all the brethren just bragged on Timothy to Paul and told Paul what a great guy Timothy was. Verse 3, him, Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So essentially, Paul meets Timothy. Everybody brags on Timothy. Paul looks at Timothy and he says, hey, Timothy, how about if you go with me as I go on my journeys, go to all the different cities and deliver doctrine, deliver the message, deliver truth. And I don't know that he said, help me write scripture, but you know that's what it became later on. Now turn over. In fact, I'll tell you what, you can keep your place in Acts 16 because I think we may come back to this later. But turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, just look at two verses. Verses 16 and 17. Now in verse 16, Paul is writing to the Corinthians and he says, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. Now stop right there. Was Paul on an ego trip? No. Because in another place, he wrote, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. Follow me as I follow Christ, okay? So when he was saying, be followers of me, he was saying, follow the example of Christ that I am setting before you. Now look what he says in verse 17. For this cause have I sent unto you Timothy, who is my beloved son and faithful in the Lord, who shall bring you in remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, this is interesting. In verse 16, he says, follow me, and in essence, we could add, as I follow Christ. Then in verse 17, he says, for this cause. All right? For what cause, Paul? For the cause of you following me as I follow Christ. For the cause of you following the example of Christ that I set before you. For this cause, I have sent unto you Timothy. Okay, well, what's Timothy going to do? Well, Timothy shall bring you into remembrance of my ways which be in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. So in other words, he's saying, I'm not going to be there. Now, we know Paul had already been there at one time, but he was saying, I'm not going to be there this time around, guys. Instead of me being there, I'm sending Timothy. Now, when Timothy gets there, he's going to help you and teach you exactly the way I teach in every church. Now, can you imagine what kind of person Timothy must have been? For Paul to have this much confidence in him and say, Timothy is going to represent me to you, and whatever he teaches is exactly what I would teach if I were there. He's going to share the same things with you that I share in every church. Now look over in chapter 16, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 10. Now if Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I also do. Let that sink in. Paul was essentially saying that, well guys, Corinthians, from my perspective, Timothy is not just my co-worker and co-laborer, I see him as being an equal to me. Look at this again. If Timothy come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. So based on everything that we've read about Timothy previous to this, then we see this. We can see that Paul has placed Timothy way up there when it comes to Timothy's maturity, anointing, his ability to convey doctrine to the church and so forth. Now let's look at another place. Turn over to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, we're going to look at chapter 1. And in verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope, unto Timothy, my own son in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord, as I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. We'll stop right there. So here we see another example of where Paul is using Timothy. He's saying, Timothy, I'm giving you a charge. You hang around there in Ephesus, and if there's any doctrine that needs to be corrected, you correct it. He didn't say, don't come and tell me about it, and I'll write a letter. He says, you correct it. Now, there is no way Timothy could have corrected the doctrine if Timothy didn't know what needed to be corrected. You follow me? Therefore, and this is just, I don't know, maybe this hits me differently than other people. But Paul is convinced that Timothy knows as much as he does. Now let that sink in. Paul is convinced that Timothy could do exactly the same thing that he could do if he were there. And Ephesus at one time was the largest church in that era. It was the largest, what you would call, New Testament church. And so Paul is sending Timothy to the number one church, if you will, and he's saying, Timothy, make sure all the doctrine is right, and if it needs to be corrected, you correct it. That means when Timothy got there, he was walking at the same level of anointing as Paul when it came to being able to teach and correct doctrine. This is unbelievable. Because we take Paul and we put him, you know, like a notch below Jesus. And here Paul is saying, but Timothy is right there with me. Is that amazing? Timothy didn't write any New Testament either. Well, that's because it was given to Paul. Paul conveyed it to Timothy, and then Timothy taught what had been conveyed to him. Now, you know what? There were a lot of other people that hung around Paul, but there are very few that are referenced like this. Now, I do believe that maybe somebody like Barnabas or somebody like Silas would have been right there with Timothy, because, in my opinion, I don't think anybody could have hung around Paul very long without growing spiritually. I mean, it's like one or two things. You're either going to grow or you're going to get. You couldn't hang around Paul and be lukewarm, mediocre, wishy-washy. I don't believe that. Especially not when I see what he wrote here in the New Testament. But man, he's got Timothy way up there. And he has so much confidence in Timothy. He says, son, they don't need me, they have you. So you go do it. Now let's look at another place. Look over in Titus chapter 1. In Titus chapter 1, two verses. Paul is writing and he says, verse 4, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. For this cause I left thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Okay, two things. He's to set in order the things that are wanting. Now, we could paraphrase that and say it like this. Titus, I sent you to Crete to correct any doctrine that needed to be corrected. And not only that, I'm sending you there to establish leaders in that region. Now, the only way Titus could have done that is if he knew what to look for. Meaning, he knew what qualified a person. Now, Paul writes in here about, you know, elders and so forth and what qualifies an elder and all that. But, you know, just because somebody writes something and gives it to you doesn't mean they have a clue what you're talking about. But he understood. Titus understood. And not only did he understand what was necessary for a person to become an elder, but he also understood how to correct things that needed to be corrected. Now, let's kind of take it like this and say it this way. Titus was like Timothy. Paul looked at both of them to essentially be the same, to be able to represent him and to correct any doctrine that needed to be corrected, because they were so firmly established in doctrine, they knew the difference between what was right and what was wrong and what should and shouldn't be taught. Look at another place. Turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And in verse 6, Paul says, and I'll stop right there before we get into this. Let me just say this, and we're not going to teach on it tonight. I'm just going to refer to it. We've taught on it in the past. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 really is a foundational passage, and goes on into chapter 9 as well. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and on into chapter 9 are foundational passages for establishing correct doctrine relative to financial issues in the body of Christ, such as offerings and giving and things like that, okay? Now, in verse 6, he says, "Insomuch that we desired Titus, that as he had begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace also." Now, again, without going into great detail, in essence, he is saying that Titus is there, Corinthians. Now remember, Timothy's been there once. Now Titus is there. Titus is there with you, Corinthians, for the purpose of helping you get established in correct doctrine relative to this issue of, you know, giving and receiving and so forth. In the same chapter, look over in verse 23. "Whether any do inquire of Titus, he is my partner and fellow helper concerning you, or our brethren be inquired of, they are the messengers of the churches and the glory of Christ." In other words, in verse 23, Paul is saying, look, if you guys have any problems with this stuff or any questions about it, whatever, I mean, Titus, he's going to be able to give you the same answers I could. You don't need to send letters to me. Titus is there with you. Ask him. He can give you all the information that you need to know. Now, in the same book, 2 Corinthians, turn to chapter 12. And verse 17. Paul says, "Did I make a gain of you by any of them who I sent unto you?" Or in other words, did I send people to you to stick their hands in your pockets and bring the money back to me? Did I do you wrong? "I desired Titus, and with him I sent a brother. Did Titus make a gain of you? Walked we not in the same spirit? Walked we not in the same steps?" In other words, look, Titus is an equal to me. Now, he's already established that Timothy was what he considered to be an equal to himself. Now we see that he has established, or in his opinion, Titus is an equal to himself. So Paul, by his own testimony, is telling us that Timothy and or Titus could do the same kind of job he could do if he were to show up in Corinth or Ephesus or Crete or anywhere else for that matter. Now, let's think about this for a moment. How did Timothy and Titus get to that point? You know, the day that they're in Acts chapter 16, where Paul met Timothy and he says, "Wow, Timothy, how would you like to come with me?" Timothy says, "Gee whiz, Paul, that would be great. I'd love to travel with you." He says, "All right, pack your bags, son. We head out tomorrow." So he packs his bags and off they go. And, you know, they're mile or two outside the city. Paul looks at Timothy and says, "Now, son, we're on our way to Venice, and we're going to be there tomorrow, and you've got to serve us." Would that have happened? I mean, the day after he meets the guy, is he going to put him in charge of the service? Absolutely not. Would you like to know the kind of things that Paul taught Timothy? Would you like to know the kind of things that he taught, well, Titus? Would you like to know exactly what he taught them? It's in the Word. I can show you. It's called Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians. It's called Galatians, Ephesians. In other words, whatever doctrine Paul established in the church that's recorded in Scripture, that is what he taught these guys. How do you know that? Because if that's what he taught the churches, and he sent these guys to represent him to the churches, saying that they could teach and correct what needed to be taught and corrected, they knew this. So that's what he taught them. So as they're walking along the roads, as they're sitting at meals, you know, wherever they were, Paul is passing this on to Timothy. Not only did he pass it on to Timothy and Titus, Barnabas, Silas, and all this, one-on-one, but as they sat in the services where Paul was teaching, they were receiving it too. It wasn't just all the people, but they were receiving it as well. And they're hearing this. And you know good and well, that as they would sit and listen to Paul teach, there were times where they would just shake their heads and think, where does he get this stuff? Well, he told them that too. You say, well, what did he tell them? Read 1 Corinthians 14, and you're going to know what he told Timothy and Titus. And read 1 Corinthians 2, and you're going to know what he told Timothy and Titus, how he got this stuff. And they had to have done the same thing. You say, well, how do you know that? Because Paul said, qualified as I am to deliver doctrine to the church, or to correct incorrect doctrine. So in other words, they had to have done what Paul taught in order to go out and represent Paul and do what Paul wanted done. Now, this means there came a time when Paul would have looked at them and said, Timothy, Titus, Barnabas, Silas, whoever, whenever, wherever, you do have the service tonight. Maybe it was months later, maybe it was 2 years later, I don't know. But at some point, that happened. Now, if you had been Timothy and you had been Titus, would you have been intimidated? Excuse me, Paul. You're the guy that was caught up into the third heaven, and you're asking me to teach to a congregation of people while you're sitting there? You've got to be joking me, Paul. He's, no, listen, it's time. I want you to do this. Well, there would have been excitement, and there would have been, I'm sure, a little bit of intimidation. The excitement would have come from the fact that they had so much on the inside of them, and they had grown spiritually so much that, you know how it is, man, you just want to unload on somebody. You know, I don't, just the neighbor's dog, it doesn't matter. I just want to unload on somebody. This stuff is just so good, and it's built up on the inside of me. So there would have been the excitement, but then there would have been the intimidation. Oh my goodness, Paul's going to be sitting there listening to me. You know, and I can just imagine, it may have happened like this when it was over. Paul, did I say something stupid? You know how we do. Well, anyway, that is kind of what the scenario would have been like. To go from, hi, my name is Paul, would you like to travel with me, to, you've got the service, to, I'm sending you to Ephesus, to Crete, to this city, to that city. You are now my equal. That is unbelievable. So they started there, and let's just say they started at level 1 and they ended up at level 10, okay? Because they did what Paul instructed. Now, have you ever thought that maybe Timothy and Titus, Silas, Barnabas, any of the others that were with him, and there were others that traveled with Paul, have you ever thought that maybe, just maybe, they had to make some changes in their lifestyle in order to do this? What if Timothy owned a gas station? Do you think he would have had to alter his lifestyle a little bit, or maybe like sell the gas station or appoint somebody else to manage it for him? Some of you are looking like, does he really think there were gas stations back there? I'm trying to make this relative, okay? So in other words, yeah, they had to make some changes in order to do what they did. Now, what about us? Let me ask you a question. How many of you here tonight have ever considered the possibility you are supposed to be a Timothy? You are supposed to be a Barnabas, a Silas, a Titus. How many of you have ever thought along those lines? Now, I'm going to answer that question for some. Never. Some of you have never considered the possibility that that is what you're supposed to be. Because you've been snookered by Satan into thinking that you're all, right now, that you're all you're supposed to be. Now, I'm going to be really direct and pointed. This is one of the messages that's not going to be broadcast on the radio. I'm going to be really direct and pointed here. And this is not to offend. This is, do you remember the other day in the message when I asked, I named names and I said, you know, like, I don't remember who all, Jason. I said, you know, Jason, do you believe you can do the works of Christ? Remember that? And when I started using names, like all of a sudden everybody's, like their eyes changed. It's like, yeah, really, never thought of it like that. Well, maybe you had, maybe you hadn't, I don't know. But I'm going to be doing a little bit of that tonight. Craig, have you ever thought, now when I ask these questions, you guys don't have to respond, okay? This is just for impact's sake. Craig, have you ever thought you're supposed to be a Titus or a Timothy? Are you looking at a career at wherever, are you looking at a career there? Or are you looking at a career of following God? Now, I don't expect the A or an A or that. This is just, you know, I want you scratching your heads on these. You know what I'm saying? You know, Barry, the same thing for you. Now, I know what you're doing. You're involved in the insurance business. You're doing a good job. And you're helping a lot of people. He is really helping a lot of people. But have you ever considered you're supposed to be a Titus? Are you looking at a career in the insurance industry? Or are you looking at a career of following God? Now, see, I could go through and there's Wardell back there and there's Kim and there's Judy. You see what I'm saying? I could go through here and start naming everybody and ask you all the same question relative to what you're doing right now. Now, here's the thing. Maybe God wants you staying right where you are. Maybe He wants Craig to have a career in that industry and with that company and to rise to like district managers. And I don't know. And maybe Barry is supposed to stay in that industry and you're supposed to stay where you are. See, I don't know that. This is something that you have to figure out between you and God. But what I'm getting at is, how do you see yourself? And now the next question is this, and I'm going to ask this of me for you. Where do I fit in? Now maybe some of you have thought that and wondered that. Where do I fit in? I'm here at Grace Christian Center. Where do I fit in? Well, first off, I'm going to show you where you fit in. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 and 28. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular, and God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Now we've taught on this before, and we're not going to go back and do any reteaching on this right now. But the list in 1 Corinthians 12:28 corresponds over there in Ephesians 4, where it talks about apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. All right? It's, you know, they're corresponding. Some of the terminology is different, but it's talking about the same thing. Okay, now first off, that is where you fit. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps governments. Okay? That is where you fit. However, because you are here, you are 1 Corinthians 12:28 at Grace Christian Center. This is where you fit. You are that, but you are that here. You are 1 Corinthians 12:28, but you are 1 Corinthians 12:28 here. Now let me explain. Everybody has to start somewhere. For Timothy, let me kind of put it like this. For Timothy, it was, you know, there were, what was it said, you know, Derbe, Lystra, where Paul met Timothy. That's where it started for him. But it extended beyond that city when he began traveling with Paul. Now, I don't know exactly how long Paul stayed there where Timothy was. Maybe Scripture says, I just don't recall. But he was there for a period of time, then he takes Timothy with him and they leave. Okay? But Timothy was with him. And as they traveled, he's learning, he's putting into practice what he hears, he's growing, he's maturing. The day came, go to Ephesus, go to Crete, go to this, go to that, go here, go there. Represent me, you can do that. And Timothy became a Timothy. You understand what I'm saying? I mean, he was always Timothy, but the day came when he became what we know of him now in Scripture. He became the pastor, he became the teacher, he became the, you know, everything he was called to be. Now, for us, where you fit in, first and foremost, in the beginning, is here. Because this is your derby. This is your Lystra. Timothy had his derby, his Lystra. This is your derby. This is your Lystra. This is where you begin, right here. If you are the apostle, if you are the evangelist, if you are the whatever, this is where you start off. This is it, right here. Now, what I have noticed, not necessarily maybe here, but just as a general observation, there are people in the body of Christ who are in their Lystra, meaning in their church. They're looking to be a 1 Corinthians 12:28, but they are looking for it to happen in a way that circumvents their church. In other words, I am an apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, whatever. I am one of those, but it's going to take place outside my church. I attend the church here. I'm attending this, you know, whatever church, I'm attending it. But I'm waiting for God to move me into my ministry, and it's going to take place outside the church. Until then, I will be here attending, but I will not be 1 Corinthians 12:28-ing. Does that make sense? I'm glad. Can you see how that can disrupt the flow of what God wants to do? Now, let's go back to what I asked a few moments ago. Where do I fit in? All right, that's where you fit in, your 1 Corinthians 12:28. But first and foremost, here. You are 1 Corinthians 12:28 here. Now, that does not mean that you never do anything outside the church. But because God has an order, and because God, again, I've told you so many times that one of the responsibilities of a pastor is to help, if you will, shepherd the people into their calling. And maybe some of the sheep need to be shepherded into the pastor pen, and some need to be shepherded into the apostle pen, and some into the evangelist pen. You with me? That's part of the responsibility of the pastor in the church. But when you have people in the church who either don't have a clue, don't want to have a clue, or don't think they need a clue. In other words, they think, okay, thank God for the pastor, but I have a calling on my life. That's right, but there's shepherding that needs to be done. Now, that doesn't mean the pastor knows more than you, and it doesn't mean he's smarter, better looking, more anointed, or any of that, but what it means is there is an order that God works through. And when people try to circumvent that, and sometimes they do it, but they don't mean to do it, they don't understand that there is to be a relationship with the pastor. And so they're waiting for God to move and establish them in this ministry, whatever it is, and the whole time they're sitting around waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting. You know, like that guy on the commercial, you know, can you hear me now? It's like, well, God, can you hear me now? Well, God, can you hear me now? I'm waiting. Hello, God, where are you? You know, I've been here now for 12 years. When are you going to use me? And God's up in heaven saying, what have you been doing for 12 years? Waiting on you, God. I know that, but what have you been doing? Doing. What have you been doing? Well, God, I don't know what you mean. And God says, precisely my point. Because if you knew what I meant, you'd be doing it. Now, why don't you know? Well, how do I know? Precisely my point. You have looked at yourself as being something separate from what I'm trying to do. Now, I'm going to show you some things. And we're not going to spend much time on this at all. But this is so extremely important. Now, you remember here a while back when I went through the ministry vision. Remember that? And how that, you know, we're not going through all this great detail. Those of you that are listening to this by tape, just imagine that you're looking at the overhead again from where we went through this. We have this, let's use some world terms. We have this corporate structure here. And each one of those entities is equal to the other from a legal perspective. It's just that you got to have a name somewhere to start with. So Jim Martin Ministries, Inc., and all the rest of those words, Grace Christian Center, Grace Ministries International, and Grace Ministries Bible College, put a comma and an ink behind those. They're all equal. Legally, every one of those in a court of law would stand equal to the other. There's absolutely no difference whatsoever. It's just when you go through the legal things and do stuff according to the way the law is, you have to do things a certain way. Well, these are the certain ways that you do it. And, I won't get into all the reasons why that having multiple names for multiple purposes relative to the multiple aspects of the ministry. I'm not going to get into all of why that's important. But when the time comes that you're going to branch out and do your own thing, you come and see me and we'll have a long chit-chat and I'll explain some of this to you in some very boring legalese. Okay, more than a church, a multifaceted ministry that includes a church. Now remember how we went over that and we went through this, explained how it's incorporated and how that the structure has laid a foundation for numerous forms of ministry, media, established churches, evangelist support, ministry fellowship, housing, credentialing, Christian education. Then we went through and explained, own and operate all forms of media. Now look at this again. Television, cable, radio, satellite broadcasting, satellite/broadcasting networks. I'm talking like CBS. Do you understand that? I'm talking Fox. I'm talking ESPN. We are legally structured to do this. That means if somebody dropped $1 billion on us, I could start negotiating with ABC tomorrow. Now let that sink in. The foundation legally is laid to do all of these things. We don't have to go back and try to reestablish something. Music and video production. I'm not saying we're going to buy ABC. I said that for impact. Internet web hosting. We could start our own internet thing. I own a Christian bookstore. Immediately establish churches the way that we're set up to do this. Evangelist support, the way we can associate with evangelists. Church and ministry fellowship, meaning we could bring churches together and create a fellowship and call it Grace Ministries International Fellowship, whatever. Housing, to own houses and apartment buildings, to provide temporary housing for the needy, emergency situations, house burns down, somebody needs help, and temporary housing for prisoners. We are also set up to own permanent housing for seniors, assisted living, etc. Credentialing, we can credential, license, ordination, and all that. The Christian daycare, or Christian education. We already have the foundation laid to own and operate daycare, preschool, elementary, junior high school, Bible college, and university. The church, and we're not going to go through all of this, all the different basic forms of church government. We went through that before. There are some specific things that I want to head to. We have the services on Sunday, Wednesday evening service, Wednesday classes for the kids, radio, okay. Right now we're on one station. I've already been approached to be on another station. And two things, God's will and money. That's it. And so anyway, that's what we're doing right now as far as radio. The website, that's going to expand. And we're going to be doing more and more on the website. We're going to the principles of the doctrines of Christ. Remember we talked about that? This coming Sunday it starts. Laying the foundations. And in-house curriculum, may lead to national, international distribution, the goal, the purpose of the classes, training the kids, okay, we'll go past that one. Many people throughout the United States and abroad have no full gospel churches within any kind of reasonable driving distance. And we're looking at live internet broadcasts of our services, services recorded on VHS or DVD for home use. We're going to be able to put all of our sermons on the web. People can log on, listen. We're going to need lots of equipment. Students in the Bible college have expressed an interest to come here. Apartment buildings are needed. Something's needed. We talked about the upper room. The upper room is to be either part of an existing building or its own building, open 24 hours a day for prayer. We talked about the Bible college. It's presently 3-year curriculum, what the future may hold, accreditation, degrees, expanded curriculum, classes by website or DVD, international campuses, just whatever. And all of these things require the buildings and et cetera and so forth. I know I'm scooting through this very quickly. book publishing, credentialing ministers, church planting. And I wanted to show this to you again as a reminder of what's coming up. Because somebody could come along and say, okay, that's great, that's fun, I like that, sounds good, hip, hip, hooray. And here we talked about letter writers, how that people are going to need to take over the role of writing letters. When people write in, they ask questions, and they're going to actually step in and fill in for me, and they're going to have to be responsible to write the letters as the way that I would respond. We're going to need employees, and the purpose for it all, color's not very good on this, is it? To help people grow, and all we need is God's will, God's timing, and finances. Okay, that's the short and sweet version of all of this. This is to be a reminder to you, because somebody comes along and they say, okay, that's what's going on, but where do I fit in? What's my role in all of this? Okay. The church, as far as what this church is, the biggest mistake that you could make is to think that this is just a church that you attend. And now here's the problem. There are a lot of people that have developed that mindset because we have church services like everybody else. This church is essentially to be the feeder for all of that. Now let me kind of bring it home. Out of all those things that we had up there, let's just say, again, let's use some names. Jason, how do you know but what you are supposed to be overseeing the housing for these students that are coming in and these inmates that get released? I mean, Jason, how do you know but what you are supposed to have the responsibility of helping these people find housing? Now, I'm not prophesying to anybody their call or what they're supposed to do. This is just for teaching purposes, okay? You know, Bob, how do you know but what you're supposed to be overseeing our video production so that we have all our video copies, whether it's tape or DVD, to be sent out to all these people that need them across the United States and other countries? But how do you know you're not supposed to do that? Leroy and Janice, how do you know that you're not supposed to be overseeing the senior citizens' outreach aspect of what we do? I mean, I could go on and pick people and names and you know, how do you know you're not supposed to be doing this? But what I'm getting at is there are a lot of folks that try to figure out, you know, well, what am I supposed to be doing? But what I think some people are missing is the fact that what you could be doing already exists. I'm not saying it is the ultimate goal of where you're headed. Remember, Timothy did not start off preaching. Timothy started off walking with Paul. That's all he did. He walked along with Paul. And it's very possible that that Timothy ended up helping Paul, getting him his coat. Yeah, go get him, you know, he went and got him Krispy Kremes and coffee or something. I don't know. But he did something. You understand what I'm saying? Now, I want you to imagine this. Now, let's just think for a minute. Paul says, Timothy, would you like to go with me? Timothy says, yes, sirree. So off they go. And they set up camp for the night. Okay? And Timothy walks over and sits down on a log and just sits there, praying in the Spirit, doing nothing. Do you think that's going to float very well with Paul? Do you think that Paul might have said, hey, Timothy, help us put up these tents for tonight? And what if Timothy had said, oh, I don't have time. I can't. I'm busy. I got to write a letter home, and I got to pray. You know, I mean, remember your teaching there, Paul. Do you think Paul might have sat back and wondered, have I made a mistake on this? Am I sure I was supposed to bring this guy with me? Are you getting the image? Timothy would have been involved. Now, here's what's interesting. In the Old Testament, people talk a lot about Aaron and Hur, and they held up Moses' arms and how the battle was won and all that. Did you know that when it comes to that whole story of the Exodus, the nation of Israel, Moses, Aaron, Hur, 40 years in the wilderness and all that. Did you know? And remember Aaron now, he was the high priest. Remember that? Did you know that there was somebody who played a more vital role in that whole story than Aaron? His name is Joshua. Go back and take a look in, I think it's Exodus 23. Remember when Moses went up the mountain and he took the elders with him? He told the elders, they got up to a certain point, and he told the elders, you guys wait here. Joshua and I are going on up. A lot of people miss that aspect of the story. Joshua was the one who led the battle against Amalek. And what happened was, and the Bible calls Joshua Moses' servant, his minister, which means he was like his attendant, his helper. Well, you know, this goes on all this time, and Joshua went further up the mountain into the presence of God than anybody other than Moses. Not even Aaron got that high up the mountain. And you know, Moses went even further than Joshua. But a lot of folks miss this thing about Joshua. The day came when God looked at Moses and said, Moses, you know, your time's up. You're going to die. But before you do, I want you to take Joshua, stand him up in front of the entire nation. Lay your hands on him and set him forth. My anointing now is going to be on him. And he's going to lead as you previously led. And you know, most people, when they preach about Joshua, the first time you hear about him is at the Battle of Jericho. Rarely ever do you hear anybody teaching that Joshua had a closer relationship with Moses than anybody else. And yet we find nothing in here where Joshua was seeking his own. He was just there. But he was doing something. He was involved. Now let's bring this home for us. In Acts chapter 16, verse 3, and, you can go ahead and turn over there. I told you to keep your place, so we'll make use of your place. In Acts chapter 16, verse 3, it says, him, speaking of Timothy, would Paul have to go forth with him? In other words, it was Paul's desire for Timothy to go with him. So he approaches Timothy and he says, Timothy, come with me. And Timothy says, okay, I'll do that. And so he leaves. Now, every person who's here at this church, I'm going to ask you a question. You know, first, my perception is this. You're here because God wants you here. But my perception goes beyond that. You're here to do something. You are not here to park your fanny on the pew. Because I know where God's leading me. Therefore, my expectation is, if you're here, you're supposed to be doing something, whatever that something is. Now, I know that a lot of people aren't here right now listening to this. And for some people, legitimate reasons, other people know. But absence by choice is hurting you. Now listen to this. Absence by choice. Well, I'm never absent by choice, Brother Martin. It's always circumstances. Like what? Well, sometimes I'm just tired, okay? And sometimes I've got laundry, okay? And sometimes it's this, and sometimes it's that. You know, we can play that song and dance. Hey, did you guys ever think for a minute that maybe my laundry needs to be done now and then? You think I don't smell? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? Whatever you have to do, I have to do. Or Kathy, I mean, you know what I'm talking about. However you live, that's how I live. Whatever you need to do, that's what I need to do. Some of it, you don't have grass to cut. You live in apartments. And that's okay. But what I'm saying is, I'm no different than anybody else, but if my attitude toward being involved with God was the same as other people here in this church, do you understand there'd be Sundays I wouldn't show up and wouldn't even tell anybody that I wasn't going to be here? I just wouldn't be here. You think that cuts it? What is your problem? Do you really think God... Do you want to know why you're stuck in go-nowhere land? It's because you're going nowhere. That's why. You say, well, Brother Martin, I don't appreciate the way you're talking to me. Well, right, go find yourself another church that doesn't give a rip about your growth with the Lord. All right? I'm serious. Walk out the door tonight. Don't ever come back. Just send me an email and say, up yours, Brother Martin. I'm going somewhere else. I will not be hurt. You know why? Because I cannot afford to let your pettiness hold me back. And that's all it is pettiness.
Well, you can't talk to me like that.
I am. And I'm recording it too, bless God. Now, I know this is pretty direct, okay? But you know, sometimes people need the dust shaken off of their ears or whatever. What I'm getting at is, this is not just the average Joe church. I am expecting you to do something because God expects you to do something, and I'm expecting you to be in a place to where I can move you into doing something magnanimous. If you don't know what that word means, just look it up. Special, tremendous, incredible, awesome. Because I know there is a calling on your life that is greater than come and sit down and go home. I know that. You are not here just because you don't have anything better to do in life. You're here because you have something better to do in life. There is a call of God on you. Now, when it comes to actually doing things, this absence by choice thing, you know, there's some folks, man, they bail out when it comes to, all right, fine, I'll say that. I wasn't going to, I'd completely forgotten about it, and all of a sudden there it is. So I must be supposed to say this. There were some of you that bugged out on Sunday night, and you weren't here because all they're going to do is sing. Shame on you. I mean that. If you've got a problem, come see me about it. Shame on you. What if that had been your night to minister, and people thought so lowly of you that they didn't show up because, well, it's just going to be Craig. I mean, if it ain't Pastor, it's just going to be Barry. It's just going to be, you know, Judy. I mean, I'd rather go play putt-putt. On you, man. Do you see why you're not going anywhere? Do you see why you are, I mean, you're just demonstrating your level of maturity. We know right where you are with God. Now, I know that some people probably weren't here on Sunday night for legitimate reasons. So don't anybody get mad and offended for the real reason. You know what I'm talking about. But what I'm saying is, you know, okay, Craig, I'm going to use you not to insult you, but just as an example. Craig works on cars. He likes it. But what if he's frustrated? He likes it, but what if he doesn't want to do it? What if there's more that he wants to do in life? Now, he uses his skills to help people keep the cars running, and they really appreciate it when he does it right. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he does what he's doing, but maybe on the inside, he's feeling, gosh, you know, I wish there would be more. I want to do more. I like this, I'm good at it, but I'm just not settled on the inside. I mean, I'm content, but I'm not settled. Okay? Now, I won't be surprised if there are a lot of people in part of this church who have those kind of feelings. You do the best that you can where you are. But let me ask you this. Let's take it another step further. Regardless of what's going on in your life right now, because you know your circumstances, and trust me, the person next to you, their circumstances are worse than yours. And if you ask them, they'll tell you. I mean, everybody's got it worse than everybody else. You know what I mean. How many of you have a specific something that you are responsible for in this church? How many of you? And how many of you have nothing, and all you do is attend and go home? Now, for people that are relatively new, there is a growth period, an adjustment period, a blending in period, a, you know, that kind of a thing. But folks that have been around here for a while, what are you doing? Specifically, what are you doing? What is your responsibility here? So, Brother Martin, I don't have anything, okay? When's the last time you came and talked to me about that? Well, Brother Martin, I never have. Why not? Brother Martin, I don't know. I do. You got the boots on? It's because you don't care. If you cared, you would come and you'd speak to me. Brother Martin, I don't mean that.
I'm here for you, Brother Martin. Whatever you want, you just call me. I'm your man. No, I mean, Brother Martin, I want to do something.
Pastor Jim, I want to do something. Give me something. I'm going to bug you until you do. I want something. Now, let me explain this. How many of you understand that I didn't just wake up one day here? Okay? See, I went to my pastor one time, and I said, I want something. You know, I'm here. You know, what is there I could do that would help you? I mean, would it help you if I did this, help if I did that? I mean, what is there? And so he said, well, he thought about it, and eventually he told me, he said, well, listen, how about if you do, you know, such and such? It's like, okay, I'll do it. Now, that was my responsibility. If I didn't show up, it didn't get done. Or he'd have to scramble to find somebody to do what I was supposed to be doing. In other words, I committed myself to being a part of what God was doing in that church. And because of that, I did not let the pettiness of stuff like stay home and watch the movie or stay home and or go down to the ball game. I didn't do that. I had made a commitment to my pastor, but at the same time, I saw it as making a commitment to God. Now, at the time I did this, I had not yet acknowledged, it wasn't until later on even that I dealt with the issue of being a pastor. But it's like, I had not committed to preaching. Maybe that's the way I could put it. But I knew I was supposed to do something. And was see, I wasn't looking to become something great. I was looking to do something because I knew that was a part of my training for the future. Thing is, some people don't want training if it doesn't get their name noticed. Now, I'm just going to throw this out to you. Don't anybody get upset with me. I mean, of course, I guess if you are by now, I'm just out of luck, aren't I? A couple of weeks ago, 2-3 weeks ago, I made an announcement. Anybody interested in getting involved in ministry, come and see me right over here after the service. There were about, I don't know, 10, 15 people. I don't know the exact number. And I could see on some faces excitement. Ministry! Glory to God! Pastor's going to give me ministry! Ministry! Look out, world! Here I come. And then I told him what it was. I said, what happens on Monday night, the prayer time, the intercession time? I'm looking to have other times like that established. Now, here's what I want you to do. Think about it, pray about it, get back with me. And you'll need to attend the Monday night sessions, if you don't already do that, to become familiar with how things are done, and then that is going to be your time. No bailouts, no not show up. This is your time. It will be your time at this church to do it. This will be your area of ministry here, permanent. You know, and God can change it later on. We know that, but you understand what I'm saying. You follow. You know what? Out of all the people that were up there, only 2 people have gotten back to me. And I can tell you why. Now, not everybody, not all the people that were there would be able to do something like that, and I understand. But there are some that should, that haven't, and I can tell you why. Because it's not what they want. Oh, they want ministry, but not that. They want something. I can tell you the response would have been completely different if I had said, I need somebody to go with me to a crusade in Houston. I need armor bearers. And it's going to be paid for. I guarantee you I'd have people calling me, emailing me, knocking on my front door, chasing me out in the parking lot. I'll go. I'm your man. I'm your woman. Come on. When do we pack, Brother Martin? I got my suitcase ready. Because there would have been some notoriety with that.
I went with Pastor. What'd you do? Stayed home, I bet.
You see what I'm saying? I gave people an opportunity, and some folks may still be thinking about it and praying about it. That's perfectly all right. I understand. But I called whosoever will. And I said, if you're interested in doing a ministry, if you're looking for something, here's your chance. Man, I opened the door and gave everybody who was here for that brief meeting the opportunity to make a commitment to do something. Only two out of that have said anything. Yes or no, only 2 people have responded in any way, shape, or form. Now, I'm going to reiterate this because I know this is on tape. That meeting represented for some people an opportunity to start on their Timothy journey, their Titus journey. It represented for some people the opportunity to get involved. Some of you, I am going to need in the future when it comes to everything that begins developing in this ministry, I am going to need more people involved in the administrative aspects of the church, of the school, of that upper room that we talked about, of the apartment building. Somebody's going to have to oversee these things, guys. I can't do it all. It's you. This is where you fit in. This is why I continually emphasize prayer, fasting, worship, and the Word. It's for your spiritual development so that you can be a part of everything that God wants to do here and continually be prepared for the specific calling that God has you on your life. I mean, we may have Evangelist Jason right here. So all of this is a part of helping Evangelist Jason get ready to win the world for Jesus. While I stay here and preach, he travels the world, goes to all these wonderful places, Hong Kong and Hawaii, and he goes down to the Bahamas, Beirut, and all these wonderful places in the world, preaching the gospel, winning people to Jesus Christ, while I stay here. You know why? It's because I'm not called to travel the world. But if he is, he needs to do that. But see, for him or anybody else, everybody else, it's these other things that start off. It's you step out and you get involved. And until you do, why do you think God would promote you? But where do you fit in? You fit in to all these things that I showed you on the PowerPoint. That is where you fit in. It is rare, few and far between. I mean extremely. I can probably count. Can I count this many, both hands? I'm going to be generous. I'm going to be very generous. And I'm going to say that I can count on both hands the number of times people have come to me since I've been here in this facility, the number of times people have come to me to sit down and talk with me about their ministry, their calling, where they believe God is directing them, and asking me for input. Quite frankly, I think it's only one hand that I need. But I said I'm going to be generous. Now see, that is not right. Now I want to say this again. I am not going to come after you. And I'm not going to chase you down. But I am here for you. You come and you talk to me. Can I let you in on a secret? There are people in this congregation, I look out and I could call you out. And I could say, thus saith the Lord, this is what you are called to do, and this is what you're supposed to be doing. For some people here, I could do that because it's what God has shown me. But I can't do that because I'm not supposed to do that. I'm not supposed to go around calling people out and telling you what you're supposed to be hearing from God. You're supposed to receive this from Him. I'm here to help you. And I'm here to lead you. I'm here to do my part to help you out. Now, where do I start? Well, quite frankly, where you start is this. You start with something. Now, some people are a part of the worship team. Some people, they sing or they play an instrument. Some people help with the soundboard. Some people, different things that people are doing. But there, you need to reevaluate your level of commitment. See, it's not just, church politics. It's about taking your steps as a Timothy, as a Titus. Do you understand what I mean when I say that? It's about you stepping out and beginning what God has called you to do because the day will come when you are going to be, okay, let's just use the analogy of Paul and Timothy, okay? The day's going to come when I will say, listen, I need you to go do such and such because you could do that exactly the same way I could. Yeah, different personality, you walk differently, but the result's going to be the same. Same anointing, same, whatever. You're going to be able to do that. The day could come. I was contacted the other day about going over to Europe and doing some intense seminars for pastors, training pastors over in Europe. Now, I don't know if I'm going to go do this or not. I'm not going to do it if I don't believe God's in it. My ego would go. But I'm not going to go do it unless I believe God's in it. I just have never had this eating in me thing go around the world and all that. But you know what? The day could come where I could respond and say, I can't, but Craig can. I will send Timothy Craig or Titus Berry or Timothy Kim. Are you with me? They can. And the result's going to be the same. I can't, but they're ready. But it has to start someplace. Do not see yourself as just a part of, you know, come in, sit down, listen, and go home, and all this other. I am looking at all of you as people who positionally speaking, okay, or figuratively speaking, or how can I say this? In the realm of the spirit, I don't know. I mean, it's not a literal manifestation right now, but I see you as playing incredibly vital roles in everything that God's wanting to accomplish here in this ministry. Not just passive roles, but active roles. That's why I look at every single one of you. You may not see yourself like that, but I look at Wanda, and I look at Jason, and I look at Janice and Leroy and Bob and Tabitha and Lee and you, all the rest of you. I look at you that way. That's how I see every person here. All of you. And that's why I don't get mad, but it does bother me when people just, you know, they just don't show up. They don't do much. They don't want to come and talk to me about their calling. It's not because, you know, I need you to do that for my own personal sake, but you need to do that for the direction God wants to take you. That's how important this is. I see you as being so, these classes that are coming up on Sunday mornings we're going to be teaching, I have been amazed at the number of people that have enrolled. But see, I look at all of you as people that once we've gone through all of this, you're going to have the material, you've been to classes, and maybe you'll get the tapes, I don't know, but you're going to have this, and some of you, we literally, if the need came up, if the situation was right, if God said do it, we could send you someplace and teach all of this. Can you see how incredible this is? If somebody were to say, you know, hey, you know, we need some help, can you help? Yeah, yes, I can. I can't. Personally, but I've got some people in my church, man, I've got some Timothys, I've got some Barnabys, I've got some Titis, I've got some, you know what, I mean, I've got all these people. Yes, I've got people I can send to you, and they can do this. They're ready to do it. That is how I see every person in this church, every single one of you. I see you as administrators. I see you as overseers, as managers. I see you as, you know, you fill in the blank. Whatever you can imagine relative to what I showed you tonight in that is how I see you. So from that perspective, when I'm in this church as the pastor, I don't see it just as the pastor of a church. I see a bunch of people that are going to do something absolutely phenomenal. And what I have to do is whatever I can do. I have to do my part in helping you to not just look at this as, well, that's what pastor's doing, but to look at this as, this is what we are doing. And I don't know exactly if I'm number one or A or XYZ or here, or I don't know yet about all of that, but I am here, and I know that part of my destiny in God lies in what I've seen on that screen. Every single one of you. All of you. And right now, you may be working on cars. And right now, well, both of you work on cars. Right now, you may be both doing, you may be the insurance, or whatever it is, teaching, whatever it is you do. That may never change. You may become, you know, that is your career. But you still have a destiny in the magnitude of what God is doing here. I want to encourage you. Evaluate yourself. What are you doing now? Make a commitment to do something, to get involved. Come and talk to me. Pastor, I want something. Commit. I'll be there, and if I can't, if something comes up and I can't fulfill my responsibility, I will call somebody and ask them if they could do it for me. Or, you know, however this applies. But every single one of you, I'm trying so hard to put in words what I am feeling and seeing on the inside, and I just don't think I can do it. That's how big it is. All of you. Every single one of you. I thank God for every person that walks in this ministry. I don't just see them as another attender. I don't just see them as another singer, out there singing. I don't just see them as another person to give offerings. I see them as somebody that God has directed this way to be a part of what He's going to accomplish. I do not see us as just another church on a road waiting for somebody to show up on a Sunday morning. I see us as a major force in the body of Christ, and I don't care how many people are here right now, that is how I see what we're doing. We are, at this moment, having an impact around this planet through the arm of the ministry called Grace Ministries Bible College. If anybody is looking for a church that is doing something and going somewhere, praise God, here it is. I know there are others. This is one. And I'm going to tell you what, not just because I'm here, but because I know what God is doing and what He wants to do, this is a good one. Praise God. And I am so glad you are here. I mean that. So if you feel like you got your butt chewed tonight, that wasn't the intent. It was to try and, wake up and see this thing differently. Look at it differently. See yourself differently than you ever have before about what is going on here. I'm excited for you. I really am. And I'm excited for me because you're here. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Do you still love me?
Love
Well, that's encouraging. Hallelujah. I guess I'll come back on Sunday. Praise God. You are special. Everybody stand.